exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there who's listening. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, and I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue, in between Sierra and Herndon, on the east side of Blackstone. I do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room off to the right-hand side. It's the place to be, man. That's what I call it. Letterman's Jacket's from, there's Liberty, there's Madera, Clovis West, Sanger West, Sanger, Kerman. Huh, imagine that. Kerman, Letterman's Jacket here. We're going to be Kerman-centric a bit on the show. I'll explain who's coming on the show in just a bit. Bullard, Central, Selma, Kalinga, Woodlake, they share the same color scheme for the Letterman's Jacket. So, yeah, live here at First String Sports. This has been the place where I've done my show since day one. Good stuff happening today on February 24th, year of our Lord, 2024. I've been telling people all week, this is certainly my most busiest week of the year so far, maybe even of the year, but it might be my favorite as well. Last night, Friday throughout the whole day, I should say, basketball championships at Celent Arena. And tonight, as well as the big ones, the Division I games, we're going to be broadcasting here on 1430 ESPN, Gabe Camarillo and I. But basketball starting at 10 o'clock, actually, right now. Games should be tipped off. So pure basketball at Celent Arena from 10 o'clock all the way till whenever the Division I boys game ends. Exciting games yesterday. Cannot wait to tell you guys about it. And I'm bringing in some coaches as well and a few players to talk about the championship games last night at Celent Arena. First of all, I want to bring up Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. Right now it's 54 degrees, and you could just tell when you step outside what a beautiful day it's going to be. A high of 70. That's going to feel like 90 degrees to some of us because we haven't had some 70-degree weather in a while, but it's going to be a fantastic, beautiful day. So thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring 1430 ESPN. I might as well tell you guys who's coming on the show. Then I'll talk a little bit about the games. After the break, Gabe Camarillo and I are going to be chatting about yesterday's games and the preview for tonight's games, especially the ones we're going to have on the radio. So there were six games yesterday and six games today. So yesterday, Division VI girls, number 5 Foothill, defeated number 2 Bishop Union 39-27. D6 boys, how about those Carruthers, those Blue Raiders? They beat Strathmore, the Spartans. Carruthers came in as the number 2 seed. They beat Strathmore 37-28 to win the D6 boys title. D4 girls, Emmanuel, the 2 seed, defeated Mendota, the 13 seed, 41-29. Congratulations to Mendota. They were road warriors in the playoffs. Those girls played hard. Emmanuel comes away with the win. On that one, it was close. It was close. But Emmanuel came through at the end. Congrats to the Eagles for winning that one. D4 boys, the one we're going to talk about. Kerman defeated Corcoran 61-60. Kerman came in as a 5 seed, Corcoran the 11 seed. But they were truly not an 11 seed. My opinion, they were probably the 1 or 2 seed. Fresno Christian was the 1 seed in D4, and they got upset early. But Corcoran, they came in with a 27-2 record. Kerman beat them in dramatic fashion. It was a game that we broadcasted. Corcoran had a shot. They had a shot. Kerman let them in. They were up 4. Corcoran made a wild 3-pointer and then turned the ball over. Corcoran had the ball on their own baseline with 9 seconds left. Couldn't get a shot up. A little bit of controversy. There was an inadvertent whistle. All kinds of wild stuff. But congrats to Kerman for winning the D4 boys title. D2 girls. A game that I've been looking forward to for a long time. Number 1, Menachi defeated number 3, Tehachapi, 41-37. Now, Tehachapi had beaten Menachi early in the season. Both teams came in with a combined record of 56-4. Those girls know how to win basketball games. But Menachi came in with the win there. Congrats to them on winning that D2 title. And in the D2 boys game, Dinuba. Dinuba defeated Mission Prep 46-42. Dinuba was a 1 seed. Mission Prep was the 2 seed. Gabe and I are going to talk about that game a little bit. And I actually have Jeff Schofield coming on the show after Gabe. Talk to Gabe about the game. And then I got head coach Jeff Schofield of Dinuba. Is their first Valley title, Central Section title. Back then it was just a Valley title. Since 1929. It had been that long. If my Common Core math is correct, that's 95 years ago since Dinuba won a Central Section title. And they did it last night. And I'm not kidding, guys. I've been to Cellon Arena for a lot of games. A lot of games. And I don't think I've ever heard it as loud or a cheering section as loud and boisterous and electric as Dinuba's was last night. If anybody was there, I think they would agree with me. Probably nodding your head, yeah. That was like, I mean, the sea of green took over the stadium. There were some that were on the other side of Cellon Arena as well. But Dinuba came out, and they came away with a four-point win. It came down to the wire as well. Dinuba hit a free throw with 0.2 seconds left that there was no way that Mission Prep was going to be able to come back from that. But congratulations to the Emperor. We'll be talking with head coach Jeff Schofield around 10:40 or so. And I mentioned Kerman. And their great win against Corcoran. Well, Tyler Morgan, the head coach, is coming in with a couple of his players. Daniel Bibioff scored 21 points. And Maddox, Ed Maddoxon, had an incredible game. It's only a sophomore. Leon Maddox scored 30 points. 30 points, 6 of 10 from the three-point land. And he was the best player on the court, only a sophomore. So both those guys and Coach Morgan are coming in at 11 o'clock. At the bottom of our number two, I've been waiting to have this guy on for a long, long time. Coach Mark Q. Jones. All right, call him Coach Q. You know him from the Fresno State men's basketball broadcast with Paul Leffler. He's the color guy. He is a Washington Union standout as well. Won a state title in 1988. And he's everywhere, right? He was at last night's basketball games. He was supporting Kerman. Supporting Kerman Lions. Got some... He's a farmer now, so he knows a lot of Kerman people, a lot of agriculture out there in Kerman. So Mark Q. Jones coming on. Can't wait to talk to him about some of his glory days at Washington Union, Fresno State, probably getting into NIL a little bit. Is that ruining college basketball? Is that ruining college sports? So he's always up for a good conversation and has some opinions as well. I want to mention the games that are happening today. So I mentioned – at 10 o'clock, games are tipped off. That is the D5 girls between number one Hanford West and number two Rosemont. At 12 o'clock, the D5 boys game between number one Coalinga and number two Mendota. So check that out. And then another one versus two. At 2 o'clock, the D3 girls game, Bakersfield Christian, the top seed, and Morro Bay, the number two seed. And then, in my opinion, the three top games of the day. 4 o'clock, number one, North of Bakersfield against number two, Sierra. That's for the D3 Boys Championship. North is their first time in the Central Section Championship game in school history. All right? Coach A.J. Sheeran has done a phenomenal job. He's been on Gabe's show a few times. He's just one of those coaches that people gravitate towards. He's done an amazing job. And we know Sierra... what they got, Logan Kilbert, the all-time leading scorer in the Central Section. Last year, they lost to Kingsburg. They lost to him by 20. And, they got another shot. It's Logan's senior year. I was over, I think I counted, or I didn't count myself, but Bob Barnett has him at 3,303 points. So Logan Kilbert is over 3,000 points for his career. He's got a great supporting cast as well. So that game is happening at 4 o'clock. In the D1 girls game, number one Clovis West and number two St. Joseph. Clovis West is gunning for their 12th straight Central Section title. 12th straight. Yep, you heard that right. It's almost unfathomable how they've won 11 straight at the highest level. So whether it's been the Open Division or the D1 championships, they've won 11 in a row, gunning for their 12th. Against St. Joseph. Gabe and I will talk about that game as well. And the D1 boys, 8 o'clock, the granddaddy of them all, as I like to call it. Number one, Clovis North versus number three, St. Joseph. We talked about these teams all season long. They're meeting for the championship game for all the marbles. Can Clovis North handle St. Joseph's big two? Those guys are strong. Talk about Tunde, Julius Price, Tunde Yesufu, Julius Price. But Clovis North, they could shoot the heck out of the basketball. They're going to need it. They're going to need it tonight. Again, the courts are different at Cylinder Arena. Remember, it's 10 feet longer than normal high school courts. 94 feet is at Cylinder Arena. 84 feet is what high school courts are. So that always plays a part of it. The backdrop. People talk about different things about the arena. We see it. I see it with the numbers. We get stats that are printed out. That's one of the great things about broadcasting games at Cylinder Arena. We get stats after every quarter. Turnovers, rebounds, assists, biggest leads, turnovers, all that fun stuff. So, anyway, yeah, we see the stats. We see, 14 for 52 shooting, 14 for 37, 22 of 65. How about that? But, anyway, that's going to be a great game. We've very, very, very much looking forward to that one. We're going to be broadcasting that one on 1430 ESPN. I also want to mention just a couple things really, really quick. Dinuba winning the Central Section Championship first since 1929. I had some significance. Yeah, and I'll be honest, I had some rooting interest as well. I grew up in Dinuba. My dad is a Dinuba High graduate, and I posted a picture of my dad in black and white in 1956 shooting a jump shot in the Dinuba High gym in a game. And I posted online and got some good feedback. People saying, man, what a wonderful picture. It's the same exact gym as they play in today. People recognize the bleachers and the style of windows there in the Dinuba gym. So, yeah, my dad, it's the first time I'd ever seen that picture. My mom is moving. My dad passed away almost 2 years ago. First time I've seen that picture. And it resonated, man. So I got to admit, I got a little emotional with Daniel when Dinuba won. So, but congrats. We'll be talking with Jeff Schofield, head coach, about that game. I want to mention, too, Tony Dungy. Do you guys know that he's coming to town? So on Monday, February 26th, from 7:30 to 8:30 at People's Church in Fresno, the doors open at 7 o'clock. Tony Dungy is coming for a free speaking engagement. Cool. I'm going to try my best to go check that out. Tony Dungy, one of the most respected men in all of sports. He's also going to be joining a prayer breakfast on February 27th from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. at the Fresno Convention Center Exhibit Hall. You guys, check that out online, and you guys can go to that as well. One more thing before we hit the break and talk to Gabe Camarillo. I have 4 tickets to Cylinder Arena for tonight. Free tickets, guys. 4 tickets here at First String Sports. First person that comes in and comes and says hi, you guys can have these tickets. They're general admission tickets. You can sit wherever you want. I think they're about $15 a day. I could be wrong. So you're basically paying for an entire day, even if you want to watch one game. So I have 4 free tickets. Come down to First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue, and they are yours to keep. All right, we're going to take a break. We've been talking with Gabe Camarillo a little bit about yesterday's games and previewing tonight's games here on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Usually in my opener, I have to decide what I want to highlight. And there's always too much stuff to talk about, man. And soccer's going on. Soccer's championships are going on. I yesterday I talked to Central Section Commissioner Ryan Toss. I'm like, hey, any chance of having the soccer championships, different on the same weekend as Cylinder Arena? Is like, yep, it's happening. It's happening next year. So the soccer championships are going to be earlier next year. So they're not going to conflict with the basketball championships at Cylinder Arena. But one of the cool things that we're able to see here in the Central Section is, teams that have, or schools that have both teams in the championship games in basketball and then in soccer. And Carruthers was one of those. So they tweeted out a pic. What a great day for Carruthers, the Carruthers Athletics Twitter account. Great pic of our girls soccer and boys basketball Division VI champions. So the boys win a championship. They hustle to watch the girls play in their soccer championships, and the girls win. So they had a combined picture holding up their Central Section champion plaque. So that is really, really cool. Awesome to see. I know there are a lot of other schools that had both. Kerman was one as well. And the wrestling state championships are going on, so it's too much good stuff to talk about. But I want to bring in Gabe Camarillo, my partner in crime last night at Cylinder Arena. I'm going to be broadcasting the Division I championship games tonight. But last night we were able to broadcast Kerman and Corcoran in that great game. Gabe, first of all, man, this is just one of the greatest weekends of the year for high school sports, if not the greatest. There's just so much good stuff going on, man. I woke up super excited to talk about it on the show, and I mean, it's just a whirlwind of good stuff happening.
I mean, you haven't even mentioned yet that Buchanan Wrestling could continue their amazing dynasty. What's going to be 7 state titles in a row? I think it's 8 at this point, actually, with what's going on in Bakersfield this weekend. So there's so much high school sports, like you mentioned. You kind of lose track of all the storylines. The dynasty's on the line today. Can Clovis North boys soccer go back-to-back? Can Buchanan go 7 in a row? Can St. Joseph go 3 and 4 years? Can Clovis West go 12 in a row? Today's all about dynasties, Paul. Which ones continue and which ones are cut short?
Yeah, and the Kerman-Corcoran game, we're going to be talking with Coach Morgan from Kerman and a couple of his players. But hey, 2 players, man, it's, you know, we talk about how are you going to stop this kid or how are you going to stop this kid. But, hey, those 2 kids for Kerman absolutely tore it up. They were the best players on the floor for the Lions, Daniel Bibioff and Leon Maddock. Those 2 guys were exceptional, weren't they?
Absolutely, and that was such a great game back and forth. Corcoran had their own huge scores. Julian Fernandez had himself a night. Javon Bragg, once he got on the court in the second half, because remember, that's a huge storyline in the first half, and that's a 1-point Kerman win, 61-60. But if Corcoran's big guy, Javon Bragg, doesn't have 3 personal fouls in the first half, he plays more, and maybe he gets them more first half points. And there's so many different ways you can slice this cake. I just look at it and say, Kerman's best player made bigger plays when it mattered most. And the fact that Kerman's best player is only a sophomore in Leon Maddock says a lot about the bright future the Lions have ahead of them.
No, it does. And then the Dinuba game, I mentioned, Gabe, how I don't know if I've heard Selden Arena louder on one side or a bigger contingent of a town coming. I mean, we heard chants of Dinuba, Dinuba all night, especially when Kevin Miller brings them up to the all roads lead to Selden sign and they're able to celebrate. It was just an incredible, incredible atmosphere and a great game.
Yeah, and I also look at this game and say, if Mission Prep doesn't go 6 for 30 from 3-point range, if they just make 2 more threes, they go 8 for 30, that's still like less than 30%, but they would win this game because they lost by 4. And they had so many close shots at the end there. You look at the video and you're like, ah, man, they had some wide open looks that could have tied the game or gave them the lead. Ifs, buts, coconuts, Dinuba's defense came to play, that's, man, it, as it has all year long. And I think Dinuba, you mentioned this while we were walking to our cars after the last after yesterday wrapped up, but you were like, Gabe, this team, they're 27-3, or they're 28-3 now, but you look at them and it's like, do they have a Division I player on their roster? And it's probably not the case. They just have a bunch of dudes who love each other and buy into what Jeff Schofield preaches. Defense, and obviously sharing the basketball, being selfless, and finding the best shot. And they found the best shot multiple times. The best shot usually ended with Josiah Ochoa launching a 3. He had 3 huge ones for a game total of 17 points.
And that defense that Dinuba uses is a 2-3 defense, reminds me of Syracuse, right? And just how that's what they're known for. They're not going to get out of it, but it's extremely effective. You don't see that too often, even at the high school level, but that 2-3 zone is very effective. The kids know how to run it. So congratulations again to Dinuba. We're going to hear from Jeff Schofield after this break. All right, Gabe, let's talk about 3 specific games that are going on tonight. First, the D3 boys at 4 o'clock. North of Bakersfield, not a lot of people know about them, the Stars. You've had Coach A.J. Sheeran on the show. And we've talked a lot about Sierra over the last couple of years. Coach Ryan Watson did an excellent job. He's been on both of our shows, Logan Kilber. I mean, tons of storylines in this one. They lost last year to Kingsburg. This is the first time for North in Central in their school history. Well, how do you see that game going?
Well, North's kind of like Dinuba, where their bread and butter is defense. And if you score more than 50 or 60 points on North, then it's kind of like, whoa, you're really good. That's how they beat Sanger earlier this year. That's how North has played well with most of the big teams on their schedule this year. Because if you look at their overall record, 25-6, this is one of the best coaching jobs that A.J. Sheeran has done. One of the best teams that he's had. The player to watch for the North Bakersfield Stars is number 41, Nate Becerra, 6'5", senior forward. That's their leading scorer. But they're just defensively really good. And it kind of matches up well because Sierra offensively is stout. They're starting 5. Their household names, Tanner Forrester, their 5'10 senior point guard. Chase Dirksen, Chandler Luke, Logan Kilbert, you might have heard about that guy before. Just Luke Brown as well, their 6'2 senior sharpshooter. These five Chieftains, they're strong. They're household names in Tall House. They came so close in Celent Arena last year to beating Kingsburg, but it just seemed like Kingsburg had too much firepower last year and too much size. I wonder how can Sierra lose this game? They're so motivated from last year. They went 24-8. They beat some Division I teams along the way. I really see Sierra as the motivated team. And I know North was in the building yesterday trying to get used to the Celent Arena atmosphere. They were in the stands. I saw Coach Sheeran and the team watching all the games yesterday. But when they get on the court, Coach Sheeran said to his players, look around, soak it in for at least 5 seconds during shoot-around. I hope they don't get caught up in the atmosphere because Sierra, they're ready for this game. They played there last year. They're used to all the new things that Celent Arena presents. Like you mentioned, the longer floor and, of course, the fact that there's thousands of their family and friends watching them.
Yeah, Gabe, and again, I don't want to harp on the shooting percentages, but I have stats here from three of the different games. I just want to throw this out there, just for reference, right? Three-point land, we have a team went 5 for 20, another team 7 for 25, 7 for 32, 8 for 19, and that's the Kerman Lions. 6 for 30, as you mentioned, Mission Prep yesterday, and 4 for 17, that's what Dinuba went. So, yeah, shooting can be pretty tough at Celent Arena. All right. Number one, Clovis West. Number two, St. Joseph Girls. I don't think a lot of people know about the St. Joseph Girls program. Obviously, we talk a lot about Clovis West and what Coach Craig Campbell has done in his history, gunning for their 12th straight, which is almost unfathomable. Clovis West, they just come at you in droves. They're nonstop. They're relentless. And why I like Clovis West's chances, of course, is because they know how to shut down other teams' number one players. We've seen it throughout the history of the program. When they went on their run in 2017 to win the Open Division State Championship, I think they faced five different McDonald's All-Americans throughout the state playoffs, and they were able to shut their best player down, shut down these McDonald's All-American girls. Sometimes they only got like seven, eight different baskets made in that game. It's Clovis West. I think you got to favor them by a ton in this one, maybe about 12 to 15 points.
Well, here's how I look at it. And we were talking to Craig Campbell, the both of us, after Clovis West dispatched Central in the semifinal. And we were like, Craig, you saw St. Joseph against San Ramon Valley. I consider San Ramon Valley to be at the same caliber of a Clovis West. And SRV beat St. Joe's at the Carruthers SS24 Showcase by 25. And that's a number 11 state-ranked San Ramon Valley who presses, who plays fast. Hey, that reminds me of the number 9 state-ranked Clovis West Golden Eagles who press and play fast. And I look at the size advantage that Clovis West has in this game. So they have the speed advantage, they have the defensive advantage, but the size advantage now exists with 6'3" Alexis Swillis. So I think Alexis Swillis, this is her breakout game. I know she's come close to some double-doubles. I think she gets the double-double today. We're going to have the stat sheet to prove it. But I think Alexis is going to out-muscle whoever the other St. Joe's big is and stop Avery Kane from getting easy buckets inside the paint.
Yeah, I think the guard play, too, for Clovis West, right?
Athena Tomlinson's going to ball out, yep.
Yeah, I mean, she's a girl where you could just say, hey, Athena, take care of the basketball, and she will. She's crafty. She's left-handed. She knows what to do. And Gabe, that was really funny. At the end of the Central game, I think there was about 14 seconds left, and Coach Campbell says, all right, Athena, just take the ball and dribble it out. And we saw the Central players, like, coming up and guarding her. And so Athena just started dribbling on almost, I'm not going to say Globetrotter style for sure, but, like, dribbling through a couple players. And she's like, man, I'm competitive. I don't want these girls to steal the ball and trap me. So, yeah, Athena put on a little show at the end of that game. But, yeah, when you have a senior ball handler in Athena Tomlinson, that's going to go a long way, too. And I want to mention, too, Gabe, there's going to be Athena and Araya Smith are one of the Clovis West girls that are going for four championships in 4 years. So again, if they're going for their 12th, there's going to be a lot of girls that are going to be able to save four rings in 4 years. So what an incredible, incredible event.
And
tonight.
I want to add this real quick. Riley Walls and Keegan Medeiros, they're coming back next year, and they're probably your second or third or fourth best players. So it's like, you know, Athena's going to be the best player probably on the floor tonight, just based off her experience playing at Celent Arena, based off of her championship pedigree. Crazy that she could go four in a row in her high school career winning Central Section titles. But look out next year, because Keegan Medeiros and Riley Walls will ball out tonight. Walls is such a good facilitator. Medeiros kind of fills the stat sheet in every category. And they come back next year with Alexis Swillis. Like I asked you the other day, Paul, I asked you the other day, when does Craig Campbell stop winning Central Section titles? I don't know the answer to that because I don't think it exists.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen because he's got a roster full of freshmen and sophomores as well. They just absolutely reload. Okay, boys, D1. Here we go, Gabe. Number one, Clovis North. Number three, St. Joseph. And we saw St. Joseph with our own eyeballs on Tuesday night against Clovis West. We know all about Clovis North. We've seen them multiple times over the last few years as well. People are saying St. Joseph is the favorite. Most people, I would say. But, hey, never underestimate Clovis North. We know what they did 2 years ago, right, on that incredible run, those Road Warriors to a state championship game. They were young then. They're battle-tested. What, five of their losses, Gabe, are to top 25 teams in the state. Their only loss this year is in section is to Clovis West. So, hey, I know Clovis North might be the underdogs, but when you got shooters, when you got players with experience, when you got drive, that can go a long way.
These are two teams that played in state championship games. You think about St. Joseph losing to Harvard Westlake last year in the open. Clovis North lost to Damien in the D1 final a couple years ago. And I know Eastvale Roosevelt, they played in the open division title game last night. And I believe they came up short to Harvard Westlake. Yep. But the fact that Eastvale Roosevelt was down by 8 to St. Joe's with 2 minutes to go and in a miracle came back to beat St. Joe's. The fact that St. Joe's almost beat a team that good in the Southern Section Open Division, I think it's commonly known that the best Southern Section teams are better than the best Central Section teams. I mean, look at Clovis North's record. They went 25 or 26-0 against everyone else, but they went 0-6 against the top SoCal and NorCal teams. Well, St. Joe's is a top SoCal and NorCal team. So I know we want to root for the local team. We want to give Clovis North the love that they deserve because, honestly, look at how Clovis North bounced back with Connor Amundson healthy and getting one more year with the nucleus of McKay and Connor and Lucas Jones and Jordan Espinoza. I mean, these are guys that are going to be known forever in Clovis North basketball history. But so will Tunde in St. Joseph basketball history, and so will Julius Price. These are legends in the Central Coast, and these are players for a top five team in the state. So I think Clovis North is a top 20 team in the state, definitely. But we're talking about a top five team in the state in St. Joseph that they're going up against. They can be anyone. Clovis North can be anyone below them, but they haven't proven yet an ability to be anyone above them. So I got to go with St. Joe's in this one.
All right. Well, any given Saturday, I guess we could call that with Clovis North as the top seed. Don't forget, they still are the top seed. All right, Gabe, good stuff as always. Remember, guys, come on down here to First String Sports. I have four tickets for Selland Arena for tonight. You can use them for the entire day. So come on down. First String Sports, I'll have him here on my desk. All right, Gabe, good stuff as always. Can't wait to be on the call for you with you tonight. It's gonna be a great evening. Can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it. We jump on the air at 5:45 for the pregame to preview both Division I games. Again, we're doing the Clovis West St. Joseph girls basketball final, and then after that, Clovis North St. Joseph boys final. So looking forward to it, Paul. See you there.
All right, good stuff, Gabe. All right, Gabe Camarillo. You can listen to him on Home Field Advantage Monday through Thursday, 3 to 5. Every day. All right, coming up next, we got Jeff Skelfield, the head coach of Dinuba High on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
All right, Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. All right, we mentioned that great Dinuba and Mission Prep game. Dinuba comes out with a D2 title, 46-42. We have Coach Jeff Skelfield on the line right now, the morning after. The Emperors are 29-3, man. They sure know how to win basketball games. So, Jeff, it is the morning after. When you woke up this morning, what was going through your mind?
Just a lot of joy and excitement, you know. Just was a wonderful night for our guys and our community. And just didn't get a whole lot of sleep last night, but woke up feeling great.
And yeah, of course, right? I mean, I'm sure you replayed the game and the emotions. And Gabe and I talked about how Selland Arena was definitely pro Dinuba during your game. You guys, the town came out; they were loud and proud, chanting Dinuba. I mean, it gives chills up and down my spine thinking about that. On the way home, did you feel like you're just floating? I think you were traveling, probably going home with your family, right in the car. But just feel like you were floating. You just had this eternal joy on your face.
Yeah, I was. It's a one of a kind feeling. We we rode up as a family, the five of us, and we rode to share that with them, the ones that have, you know, my wife especially been with me through all the years, you know, and all the heartaches along the way. It was special. It was a very great feeling.
And so what was the game plan? Let's talk a little specific about the game and the game plan. Mission Prep had a couple good players. They had 6'7" dude, a 6'5" guy. What was the specific game plan, and did you feel you guys absolutely executed it to a T last night?
Yeah, we know. I mean, they shoot the ball really well from the perimeter. They had three guys, number 4, number 11, number 32, that we knew could all, you know, get really hot from the perimeter. So that was a focus, to try to take that away, and then try to limit drives from some of the other players, try to keep them out of the key, try to keep us out of foul trouble. 11 did it. I thought he played really, really well. He was gashing us pretty well in the first half from the free throw line, so we had to adjust and try to take away those touches as the game went on. But that was our focus. You know, they shoot the ball really well. We wanted to take away clean looks, and I thought for the most part we did a pretty good job.
Yeah, we talked about the 2-3 zone that you implemented. You never get out of that. You just talk to your guys on the zone just to get on the shooters and close out and rotate over. Is that one of the keys?
Yeah, we depending on who we're playing on a given night. I mean, yesterday was their shooters were on the wing a lot, so we had to have our bottoms of our zone come out a little more extended, and just we tell them we need multiple efforts from you on a given play. You may have to get out to a shooter on the wing and then bump to a shooter in the corner. So, Javier, Angel Sanchez, number 14, and Joseph Lopez, those are the three guys that played there primarily for us. They were great. And then it really, really helped having Big Bryce in the middle, because he just anchors everything we do defensively.
Yeah, he did a really good job, and he was a physical player. You guys found yourself down 9 points in the third quarter with 2:23 left. You guys went on a little bit of a run there. You ended up that quarter strong. What do you think the key was for that turnaround?
Yeah, and in a timeout, we were really struggling to score at the time, and the ball was sticking a little bit. We weren't moving the ball the way we need to. We always tell our kids we're at our best offensively when we're getting assists. When the ball's working its way from one player to the other, we started getting to that. Josiah hit a huge one for us, and then our sophomore Mikey Esperito hit that one at the end of the third quarter at the buzzer, which I thought that one changed the game right there. We just started moving the ball. Bryce was able to find guys. Javier was able to find guys and open things up for us a little bit.
Yeah, you're right. That basket at the end of the third quarter was huge, because Mission Prep had the ball, shot clock was off, and they shot the ball a little too early, as sometimes high school kids tend to do.
Yeah.
I've noticed over the year, especially, shoot it too early, and you guys heard it with that, hit that three in the corner, literally at the buzzer, and just the joy, Coach. I was able to sit right there by the bench by you guys, right by the 1430 ESPN booth. And the joy on the faces of the players, I felt like at that moment, they were like, yeah, I think we got it. We found our shot. We hit our big shot. So, yeah, I mean, that was just a huge moment in the game. And I think that really propelled you to the fourth quarter, didn't it?
For sure. We've been talking about it all year that, when you hit a bucket at the end of a quarter, those are momentum shifters, because that's the last thing you remember for the – during that timeout. Your crowd has a chance to get loud during that time. We love those end of quarter buckets, always shift momentum. So that was huge.
And Javier Torres, you mentioned Josiah Ochoa. They were your two main dudes stat wise. Javier, he's just a double double machine. Obviously, I follow you guys on Twitter and see, oh, Javier had 14 and 10 again. He had 15 points and 15 rebounds. He had 20 points and 9 rebounds here. He had 13 points, 11 rebounds, and Ochoa had 17 points. When you play on a big stage like that, and we've mentioned the dynamics of Sound Arena and the big crowd, when you got players like that that rise to the occasion, right? I mean, those are the types of guys that you need to rise to the occasion and propel you to like a championship like they did last night.
Yeah, I've been telling my wife all year, this group's they're just mature. The way they handle themselves on the court is different than a lot of the kids, you know, a lot of other teams you see. They don't get rattled. I knew we would have a really, really good chance at winning if we could rebound and get enough stops. And because our kids, you said it, we went down nine. They don't blink. And the moment wasn't too big for them. It helps when you have a big portion of Danube in the stands rooting you on too. That's for sure.
I want to mention that you didn't put Javier Torres on the bench at all. He played all 32 minutes, and it looks like Josiah only sat for 39 seconds. So those guys were certainly tired after the game, and they earned it. Jeff, I want to ask you, at what point did you really, really, like, truly believe in your heart that you won the game? I know you're going to say until the buzzer sounded, but you guys actually had a couple free throws with 0.2 seconds. There's no way that Mission Prep won. But, like, when did it really, really hit you last night?
I think it was somewhere probably around the three-minute mark. I think we're probably up one or something or so at the time. And, you know, we felt if we could get the game shortened up to the end and be there at the end. So when we were up a point or whatever it was at 3 minutes left, I had a really good feeling about it. And the kids made enough plays to close it down. Angel Sanchez, his offensive rebound on the free throw under 30 seconds, I think, and then he got fouled and then stepped up and hit two free throws. That was enormous. My goodness.
Well, I think you had missed you missed two free throws in a row, and he got that offensive rebound. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I think that was that point.
Yeah.
I want to mention. Go ahead, Jeff.
I'm sorry. No, I'm good.
Okay. I want to go back to the crowd and the support that you guys have had all season. I heard that the semifinal against Sunnyside was incredible on your home court. You know what? What did it mean, I think, for you and your staff and for the players to just hear the Dinuba contingent behind you and just to know that you had that support?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure every team feels, you know, that their fans are the best. We certainly do. It's kind of like an extended family, you know, you if you have a chance. I try not to do it too much, but I was peeking. You just peek around and see all the faces up there, former players. People that you work with, people that you've known, you know, since you were a kid. It just makes our community special. You know, the former players that are there, I mean, all those guys have had a part in building the program to what it is. And everyone takes, you know, a little bit of ownership of that. And so I think, you know, it's just a big extended family when we get together for a game.
Talk with Jeff Schofield, the head coach of Dinuba, and I know that for sure. I grew up in Dinuba, and so there were some people that I haven't seen in 20, 30 years, and there was actually a Dinuba High grad from 1990 who played basketball, played 4 years on the varsity level, and heard that Dinuba was playing in the championship game. He drove all the way from Reno, Nevada in the morning to go watch you guys play at Sound Arena.
Oh, that's great, man.
Yeah, Brian Blair, a four-year guy for Dinuba High. So that I mean, that's just a testament to the town and to you guys. A couple more questions here, Coach. You know, again, I sat next to you, or not next to you. I sat next to the bench, and you know, one of the things I love to do is watch the interaction between players and coaches. Something I noticed, Coach, that I want to explore a bit with you is you and your staff. You guys don't yell at players. You're not frustrated with players. You don't show any emotion negatively to anybody. You're a positive guy. When guys make a mistake on the court, you're not flailing your arms or anything like that. You know, is that just, you know, just a thing that you've picked up along the way? It's just your mentality, how you were raised or how you were coached, that, man, I'm just going to pour into these kids and give them the best opportunity to be the best basketball player and the best person that they can be?
You know, I think a lot of it, I mean, there's times, you know, if you ask our players, we get on them, you know, throughout the season. But, you know, this group's, like I mentioned, they're so mature. You know, we don't have to go through a lot of the screaming and the yelling. You know, I've learned through the years, I mean, obviously, when you present yourself with composure, your team's going to reflect that. And, you know, credit to our kids. We don't have to jump on them that much. You know, we're about, you know, how can we how can we, you know, play better? How can we score here? How can we get a stop instead of getting frustrated, coaching frustrated and playing frustrated?
And game, even when you're down nine, do you really have that kind of countenance for most of the games, or inside your stomach is in knots?
No, I think you get concerned, obviously, you know, especially in a game like that where points are at a premium. But you know, you keep staying the course. We told our kids it was going to be a battle, and we can stay around. You know, the opportunity will be there in the end for us to go out and take it. And the kids clawed their way back and did exactly that down the stretch, which was spectacular.
And hanging out with your players after the game, I'm sure you guys were whooping up pretty good in the locker room, and then coming out and talking to parents and grads and all that. Is there one moment that sticks out to you, maybe with a player, something that somebody said? Is there one specific moment that sticks out from last night?
There were so many people, you know, friends and former players and stuff. I think the Cylinderina crew is about ready to charge us for overtime. They were shooting, but they were great. The staff was great. But you know what? I saw Marcus McMurray in there. Was able to talk with him for a second. He's a kid, obviously, that means so much to our school and our community. You know, he put us on the map. You know, way back when he was here athletically. You know, just as a program, and that was special. And then I was able to take a picture with the plaque with my family, and that's one that'll be on my phone, you know, till I'm not here anymore. That's going to be a special one for sure.
And your son was able to sit on the bench, right? Was he a freshman that you brought up? Am I right on that?
Oh yeah. That's Miles. He's a freshman. He played on our freshman team. So you know, the more that they can experience it, the better.
That's awesome. And a couple more things here, Coach. I know that Edward Bedoya has been with you for a while, and you played for him when Coach Bedoya was the head coach at Dinuba High. You played for him, and then he got to be on the bench. You know, his son Andrew passed away tragically. He had the Andrew Bedoya Classic Tournament at Dinuba, and then his son Michael is also on the bench. So how neat is that through all the tragedy with Andrew passing away, with Edward being there? How special was that a moment for you and your program and them?
It's like no other. And those guys are brothers to me. You know, we've been through ups and downs together, and to share that with each other yesterday was unreal. It was spectacular. Michael Bedoya, he had a Power Ranger shirt on last night, and it was the same shirt that belonged to Andrew. Andrew used to coach in it, so that was pretty special, man, when he shared that with us. That was, yeah, but those guys are the best. And you know, I couldn't be more happy to win one with those guys.
I absolutely agree. Okay, obviously you're still relishing in the win from last night, defeating Mission Prep for the first Valley title, Central Section title since 1929 for Dinuba High. Cool stuff. Is state playoffs, is that just like, I don't even want to think about that yet. You just want to enjoy the moment, but state playoffs are coming up. So you got your guys' season certainly isn't done yet, is it?
No, for sure. You know what? We'll tackle that probably Monday. You know, I think the seeds come out tomorrow afternoon, and we'll look at that Monday and see what's there. We're definitely going to enjoy this one for the next couple of days.
All right, Jeff, congratulations again, Dinuba High head coach. Anything you want to say to the fans, to the community out there about that win and what that means to you guys?
Yeah, we're just so thankful for all of them and the support and love that they give us every time we step on the floor. So we were happy we could get it done last night, and go Emperors.
Go Emperors is right. All right, congrats, Jeff. Really appreciate you.
Thank you, Paul.
You bet. All right, Jeff Schofield, head coach at Dinuba High. Coming up after the break, we got more championship. We got more championship talk here. We got the Kerman Lions in the house. We're going to be talking with Coach Tyler Morgan, a couple of his players. Coming up on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. That's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Thank you guys for tuning in. This is one of my favorite times of the school year. Selden Arena basketball championships. We've been talking about it all morning. He's had a really good conversation with their new coach, Jeff Schofield. They got their title. It's been since 1929, since the Emperors could claim themselves a Valley title. They took care of business last night. I figured that game was going to be in the 40s, and sure enough, it was. It's sometimes difficult to score points in that arena, but Dinuba, they actually got to the finals by beating Sunnyside 38-35. Yeah, that was a basketball score, not a football score. But yeah, again, congratulations to Dinuba. If you miss any part of the show or you want to listen to past shows, you can go to 1430ESPNFresno.com, go under podcast, Central Valley Sports Report. I'm right there. Commercial will be taken out. It's condensed, so you can skip ahead to your favorite parts for sure. But thank you guys for listening. Really enjoy bringing you the highlights that these incredible student athletes perform on the court, on the field. They certainly deserve it. And what a night for Kerman basketball last night. So right now we got Kerman head coach Tyler Morgan. The Lions defeated Corcoran in a wild one. We're going to dissect that game. 61-60. I think this was the highest scoring game of the day yesterday. So a lot of points in that one, especially in Selden Arena, captured the D4 Central Section title. We got sophomore Leon Maddock in the house and junior Daniel Bibioff. Two of the stars, check this out. I'll go ahead and throw this out there right now. They combined for 51 of the 61 points last night. So the big two certainly carried you guys to a section title. First of all, guys, thank you for coming on. Thank you for coming here live to First String Sports. Appreciate it.
No, thank you for having us, and we're really happy to be here.
All right. So, guys, let's start with you two. Let's start with the players, all right? How much sleep did you get last night? Did you have trouble getting to sleep, or did you just hit the pillow and crash? I mean, how much sleep did you guys get?
Personally, I got a lot of sleep.
Is it because you just laid it all on the floor? Is that why?
I think so.
Yeah, it's Leon. How about you? How about you, Daniel?
Not me. I went to bed at like 4 a.m. last night. I was so happy.
Was it easy to get up?
Yeah.
How about for you, Coach?
It's the best sleep I've had in 2 months. So yeah.
I asked Coach Schofield this as well. When you woke up this morning, like, what was the first thing on your mind, Coach?
The first thing that was on my mind is just how proud I am of this team and just how much they've come together as a unit, and we have a saying, we call it a brotherhood, and how much they've just come together, and, you know, we made this late run late in the season, and just how much, like, it was a joy to see them have so much fun on a big stage last night and just see them trust each other and play with each other, and it was a great environment, great crowd, our student section and all of Kerman, felt like the whole town of Kerman was out there. We had great support from our superintendent, Mr. Pacheco, our board, our staff, our administration, from the teachers down to the students. Everybody was there, it felt like, and the people of Kerman. And so more than anything, I woke up just feeling proud for the town of Kerman and, more importantly, for the boys and just all that they've accomplished and that they did it together, and that was the most important thing.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely a sense of pride in Kerman. Let's talk specifically some strategy. Going into last night's game, you guys don't have a ton of height. I mean, Leon here is 6'3". I think he's the tallest kid on your team, right?
Mm-hmm, yes, sir.
So you're going against 6'7", 6'5". Strategy wise, you're like, man, we gotta be able to body these guys up. We gotta rotate, maybe take some charges, go after them offensively, try to get them in foul trouble, which happened. We're gonna talk about that in a second. But going into the championship game, Coach, what was the strategy? What did you have to focus on to win that game?
Well, they had a couple of big posts, some big boys, and so we knew we had to handle them on the inside. So I told the boys it's gonna be a low hole game. We gotta protect the paint. We gotta be physical, and we just gotta assert our physicality, both mentally and physically. And I felt like we did a great job of doing that last night.
Who stood out?
I think, honestly, obviously, Leon and Daniel always stand out, but I think two kind of X factors, or three X factors for us, were number three, Daniel's little brother, Vaughn, who played a master job defensively, and then our two other big, our so-called big guys, Tobin Gusev, number five, a sophomore, and Devin Cropper, a senior, number 21. They were monsters on the defensive end, rebounding and boxing out, and they did all the dirty work for us. And so I felt like those guys were really key X factors for us to get these guys out going. But we don't win the game without those guys.
Yeah, I agree. And number five, Tobin Gusev. That's how you say his last name. I only have him down, or the stats have him down for five rebounds. But I think I can remember all five of those rebounds because they were big. Those rebounds that he got were against their bigs, and he went up strong. Obviously, he's not the tallest kid out there, but I thought he played really well.
No, he played really well. And then when he wasn't grabbing the rebounds, he was doing a heck of a job boxing them out and letting, like, Daniel and Leon and the other guys clean up the boards to help us out getting transition. So he was a major X factor for us last night.
So let's talk about these two guys to your left. I mentioned that, 51 out of the 61 total points that they were able to score. You relied on these two dudes all season. Let's start with Leon. What he did on the court, it was an amazing game. It's something people are going to be talking about for a long time. 30 points. Would you hit 6 3-pointers, I believe, 6 for 10 from the three-point land? Talk about his game and how he rose to the occasion.
Well, I know Leon, and obviously I know his dad playing for Coach Matic and all that, and so I know Leon would be ready for the moment. Kid works his butt off. He works out 2 or 3 times a day. He puts in the work, and so when you put in the work like him and Daniel do, I knew they would be ready for the moment.
6 of 10 threes, is that pretty normal for this guy, or was he on a pretty good heater?
It's pretty normal. Like in practice when we do game reps and stuff like that, him and Daniel always get the best in the three-pointers, and we put them through game reps, and so we make sure they're always prepared, and they know they have the green light.
But he also took it to the hole a few times, man. He used that being hot from the three-point line, a couple pump fakes getting to the rim as well. So that's part of his bag, isn't it?
No, absolutely. And, again, it's just things he works on by himself and in practice and with the team. Him and Daniel do a great job of playing a two-man game together. And so they just kind of all culminated into a great win last night.
All right. Leon, how did you feel on the court last night, man? You came off the court a couple times after hitting threes after a timeout. You're kind of shrugging a little bit, like, why are they leaving me open, man? They're giving me my shot. So what do you think was working for you last night's game?
I mean, they were leaving me open, so I felt I had to shoot them. And, yeah.
Well, they left a lot of pick and rolls at the top of the key. I thought you guys did, and they weren't coming up. They were sagging back on you. So when you, like Coach mentioned, you're not shy. You're kind of built for those moments, like. Yeah. And they were perfect swishes. They weren't like rolling around or on the side of the basket. I mean you nailed those. Talk about the confidence. Like, did you just block everything out? Was it just you and the rim in those moments?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's the most open looks that I've gotten in the season because most people are, like, all over me. But it's pretty easy once you got the screen. It's like if they come over, you just drive it, and if they go under, it's a three for me, and I work on that a lot. So
simple game. And you read it right. Perfect reads. All right, Coach, I want to talk about Daniel's game. He scored 29 points. We'll get to those free throws in just a second. I know we're ribbing him about those free throws, but talk about the game that he brought. He gets downhill. When he gets downhill, he's tough. He's left-handed. He's got some pretty good hops, got long strides as well. So describe his game last night.
Well, Daniel's game last night really helped us to victory, get their big guys in foul trouble. And, again, when he gets ahead of steam, he's really hard to stop because he's underratedly how quick and fast he is, and he can really jump. And I know looking at Daniel, he has more of a slight stature, but he's actually more physical. When he gets to the rim, he's really strong with the contact. He knows how to finish through contact. And, again, that's all the work he puts in, like in the offseason and practice, working with the pad, getting in the weight room. And I knew Daniel would be ready for the moment. So.
No, and he was. And, you know, ribbing him a little bit about those free throws. But, I mean, he's a Central Section champion, so he don't care about those free throws. He went 0-for-6 to start the game, and he ended up, 4-for-12 for the game. But you made him later in the game when it mattered the most. Well, what'd you say, Coach? He was like 22 for his last 23 in the playoffs?
Yeah, in the past two, three previous playoff games, he shot 22 for 23 from the free throw line.
Those darn rims, huh? Those depth perception at Sellin Arena. All right, let's talk about the end of the game. You know what? I want to talk about getting their two bigs in foul trouble. All right? And you did it, right? You fouled out the 6'7" kid, and I think the other one played with four for at least the last quarter. I mean, that was huge. I thought that was a big turning point in the game. Was that something that you consciously try to do? Hey, this guy's got three fouls. Let's go at him a little bit harder. Was that something that you and your coaching staff preached to these guys?
Yeah, my assistant, both Coach Rico's and Coach Jensen pointed that out. And more importantly, actually, the boys pointed it out. And we always talk about at the end of the season, if you want to be a really good team, it's got to be a player-led team, not a coach-led team. And then Daniel and Leon kind of took the bull by the horns and took the charge and said, hey, this is what we got to do, coach, and I'm going to listen to my two best players, and that's what we did.
Talking with Tyler Morton, the head coach of the Kerman Lions. All right, let's go to the end of the game. You guys go up four. Probably thinking, hey, this could be it. All right, we got to take care of the basketball. We got to execute this. And then one of their dudes, Josiah Allen, he's hoisted up, I don't know, 32-footer, left-handed in front of their bench, and he was guarded by two guys that swishes in. And then at that point, that gave Corcoran some life. So I think that was with, what, about 18 seconds left in the game?
About
right? Yeah, what was going through your mind, coach, during that time? Like, come on, let's catch a break here.
I'm just like, here we go again. All right, boys, we got to get it done. We got to execute. And he hit a shot, and we just, again, like they've been doing all year, just got to play through adversity and just come together in this moment, and that's what we did.
And then you guys threw the ball away. So yeah. It gave Corcoran one more chance underneath their hoop. 9.2 seconds, all right? You're 9.2 seconds away from winning a Central Section championship. Maybe I'll let you coach. I don't want to describe it. I described it on the radio but during the game, but – what did you see with 9.9 seconds left, Corcoran inbounding the ball under their basket? It was just a wild, wild sequence. But what did you see from your perspective?
Yeah, it kind of just seemed like a scene from the Wild Wild West, playing dodgeball. Ball was flying everywhere. Bodies were flying everywhere. And I was just kind of watching and just kind of enjoying the moment.
You were enjoying it?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Corcoran had a chance to win the game, and you're enjoying it.
Well, I just believe in my players that much because of the time they put in and all the time we put in the offseason. And I knew we had to get one stop. And one thing we pride ourselves in practice and stuff like that is playing defense. And we always, when we do defensive drills, you got to get one stop, a perfect 35, call perfect 35. And I just, you know, try to remain calm as possible. And I had faith in my players, and I knew they'd get the job done somehow, some way. And they did. So
I like it. And it was a wild west play. Shot the ball, got a rebound, took up another shot, and then there was a whistle. An inadvertent whistle is what I found out later with 0.5 seconds left. You didn't receive any explanation. You didn't know what was going on. You didn't know if there was a foul or a violation. But Corcoran gets one more shot, and then Daniel gets the steal. Daniel, what were you thinking on that play? 0.5 seconds left. You knew he had to lob it, and they had to do a tip-in or just a catch-and-throw-in to win the game. But what'd you see on that final steal?
Well, on that last play right there, before the 0.5 seconds, me and Leon were talking, because I usually go over the ball, but we knew that they only were able to tip it in. So he told me, go under the basket and him go over the ball. He's more lanky than I am. Make it a harder pass for them. And he told me to go under the rim since I jump pretty high. So he told me to go down there, and we knew they were going to lob, and I just knew it was going to happen. I don't know, just reaction time.
And you got up pretty high, man. You went up, you got it at the highest point, and you stole it. So when you stole the ball and the horn sounded and your guys are coming out and you're jumping up and down and celebrating, what was going through your mind?
Oh, it felt amazing. It was all the adversity our team's been through and all the hard work we put in, it all paid off in that moment.
Leon, what was going through your mind? How'd you celebrate? Who'd you jump on first? Do you remember?
I forgot, but like three different people.
And in the locker room, what was that celebration like?
It was amazing. Our whole team dumped the bucket on water on Coach. He was all soaking wet.
Water, no Gatorade?
Just water.
All right. So how cool was that moment for you, Coach?
Oh, it was special because I was just, more than anything, I was just so proud of the boys and all the hard work they put in and going through the ups and downs of the season and just rallying together and just seeing them come together and enjoy each other and just, like, love each other, because we're all talking about love each other and love each other's team on and off the court and build those relationships, not just for, you know, in season stuff like that, but for long-lasting relationships so they can have these memories, have these friends, these brothers for the rest of their lives. And that was kind of just a whole culmination of that, and it just felt so special to be in that moment and share that moment with them, because at the end of the day, they're the ones that got the job done. And so I was just there to kind of, one, not screw it up, but just help them celebrate and enjoy it with them.
And you celebrated. I saw you, man. You were pretty pumped, Coach. That was awesome to see. You were pretty stoked about that. Let's go back to the, adversity, as you called it. And you guys are 18-15 right now. You guys went 1-7 in league. And you guys sit here today as Central Section champions. So, Coach, when you guys were going through those losses in league, like, was it a difficult time? Did you use it as a learning experience, as a growing experience? Was there frustration? Did you have to get through that frustration? What was that whole moment like?
Well, it's definitely frustrating when you're losing and you're competing in games, but we were playing really great teams like Kingsburg, Hanford West, Sierra Pacific, Selma, Washington Union, our crossover game, all great coaches, great teams, great programs, and we knew we were getting better. We just weren't getting the results we wanted, but these guys all continued to kind of come together. Each game we got a little bit better, even though we were coming up short, but I think they boys feel the same way, but as a coaching staff, we felt like we were getting better. We got to turn the corner, and we were climbing the hill, and then eventually we were able to turn that corner and get to the top of the mountain.
Yeah, was there a moment where you thought, hey, the team has finally turned around, we're clicking? I mean, I bet you could look for, you know, you probably couldn't have imagined you'd be sitting here today as Central Section champions during that time, or maybe you did.
Well, I always have faith in my team, and the only thing we focus on is all the 15, 16 guys in the program with the 11 players and the four coaches, and we focus on lots of matters, and we knew we could get the job done. We just kind of had to fix a lot of little things, and so being led by our team captains, Devin, Daniel, Leon, all those guys just kind of led the charge, and they made towards the second half of the season into the playoffs, we became a player-led team, and they started coaching each other on the court and being point guards and point coaches, and so they kind of took the reins, and so we kind of took a step back and just, hey, here's the script, and they just executed it.
And Daniel is a junior, Leon's a sophomore, so you're going to have these guys back as well. Boys, Daniel, we'll start with you. You know, you're a junior, but you're also one of the leaders on the team. What were you telling the guys, you know, during the season? Like, hey, guys, stay the course. Good things are going to happen. What was your mentality through that process?
No, yeah. And during the season, I think one time we were on like a 9-10 game losing streak. Everyone was like getting down on themselves. Like, dang, we're not going to make playoffs. Us going to Valley, like, this isn't going to happen. And it's just, and in our league games, we were right there losing by 1, 2, 3 points. We were right there. But no, me and Leon just helped everyone get their heads up. Like, we're like, we're going to do this. And they trusted us, and we trusted them too, so that's good.
Leon, you trust this guy?
Yeah. And I think, like, a turning point for us was when we got that win against Sierra Pacific. And that's when I think we, like, turned that corner.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at that. Looks like February 1st, you guys beat Sierra Pacific 69-65. You played a tough Sierra team who's playing today at 4 o'clock and a really good Selma team. And then you guys have won 5 straight, including last night's championship win. All right, can either of you dunk?
Yeah, we both, huh? Both can.
The last time I dunked was in the summer. I'm too tired.
You got the dead leg right now?
Yeah.
But, Daniel, you can throw it down?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? All right. 1 foot, right? You're a 1 foot guy?
I'm a 1 foot guy.
Yeah. In a game?
In a game, not yet. I've missed twice in a game.
Oh, all right. He's missed twice?
Yeah.
You give him the business on the bench, yeah, or you're just like, you gotta either do it or, you know, or lay it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, summer, it's been since summer for you, Liam. All right. Who are your two guys, who are your favorite NBA guys? You got some? Or college basketball players. You got some guys you love, some guys you emulate?
Luka.
You're a Doncic guy?
Yeah.
What do you like about him?
I like how he plays at his own pace.
He certainly does.
Yeah, I just like his skill set.
Body control, skill set, inside, outside. Yeah, he's got it all. What about you, Daniel?
Me, I'm a Steph Curry kind of guy, but a lot is Kyrie Irving because I like how he gets to the rim and he can finish really well around the rim.
How about you, Coach?
Well, I wasn't born when he played, but my favorite player of all time is Larry Bird, but I grew up being a Manu Ginobili fan.
Yeah? Are you left? You're not left-handed, are you?
I am left-handed.
You are? Well, there you go. And that's why you got a good relationship with Daniel here. We're both lefties. All right, you're a man you got. Hey, if you go back and look at Ginobili's highlights, they'll blow you away. His body control, he'll go around the back. He'll hurt you with he'll surprise you with dunking. Yeah, he's an amazing player. So, Coach, you you played for Tim Edmondson as well at East.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So the coaching tree, man, from Wahlberg to Edmondson's to you to all kinds of coaches throughout the Central Section is pretty darn special, right? So what did you learn mostly from Coach Edmondson, and how was it playing for him?
Well, I love playing for Coach Amundson. I grew up with the program with him. He was a great coach, great family friend. I look to him as like another father figure. And he taught me a lot about the game of basketball inside and out. He was a great coach, super tough. But, again, as much as he was hard on you, he loved on you 10 times as much and had high expectations. And he was an absolute pleasure to play for, and I learned a tremendous amount from him.
Style-wise, coaching style-wise, a little bit different, or you just kind of take bits and parts from other coaches and make it into your own?
I just honestly, I just steal from everyone, and then I just try to put it together. And like with Coach Amundson, I take a lot of the concepts of how he preached, like toughness and defensive minded, and you got to be willing to make the little plays to make the big things happen. And so I owe a lot of credit to Coach Amundson.
Are there some other coaches that you really appreciate throughout the Valley?
Oh, absolutely. Like I played for Leon's dad, Coach Maddock. He was amazing. Coach Adam Wall, Buchanan. I have Coach Bayshore, Coach Del Bayshore, Coach Mike Gregory. I've had a lot of great coaches in my life, a lot of mentors. Coach Adrian Wiggins has been huge for me ever since I've got back from the Valley and met him, because my brother played for him his senior year, and I've grown to really know Coach Wiggins. He's been a really great head coaching mentor, kind of handle situations and stuff like that. So I've been blessed by a numerous amount of coaches that have just given me all their advice, and I just try to take it in and use it to the best of my ability to help them.
You guys, have you seen Coach shoot the basketball? Can he shoot?
Yeah, he can shoot.
Better than you two? Oh, shots fired right here. Leon, little head shake. Huh?
They know anytime they want to do shooting competitions, it's open anytime.
They know where to find you. All right. So, guys, incredible conversation. Congratulations. It was a fantastic game. I felt privileged to be able to call it on the radio. You could go back and listen to it. We saved it on the archives. But Leon Maddock, Daniel Bibioff, Coach Morgan, congratulations. Great game last night. Good luck the rest of the way.
And thank you for having us. Really appreciate being here.
You bet. All right. Coming up after the break, we got him in the house right now, Mark Q. Jones. He's here live at First String Sports. More basketball talk here on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I still got those four tickets for tonight, for today, all day. Come on, guys. Come on down here, First String Sports, Selland Arena. You don't have to pay those fees. You might have to pay for parking, chance a ticket maybe, go pay the meter, right? But we got tickets for here. Come on down here, First String Sports, Blackstone Avenue, in between Sierra and Herndon. I got them for you. All right. I've been waiting a long time to have Coach Q on the show, and today just it lined up. Line up good for me. I don't know. You're a busy guy, Coach. I know you said your phone's ringing off the hook right now because you got a big night tonight. We're going to talk about the Fresno State game against San Diego State, Rod Higgins night. But yes. Coach Mark Q. Jones, really, it's a privilege for me. You're a Washington Union legend. I remember reading about you in the paper all the time. Man, Union wins again, Union this, state title. So, you know, and you stayed in the community commentating color analysis for Fresno State men's basketball with Leffler. So it's an honor, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, and just I don't know if Chris Pacheco, the former lineman, defensive lineman for Fresno State, who owns the brand ESPN, he gave me my opportunity. So I want to thank Chris and his wife. I lived in Davis for 25 years, and people started getting sick, and I had to move home to help take care of folks, and I couldn't find a job, and they gave me a high school show job, and I never wanted to do anything with high school again. I mean, man, that was some hard lifting coaching. My NBA friends, my college friends who were coaching, it's like, man, you got to be crazy to be coaching high school basketball or high school anything. And I said, yes, it can wear on you. And then when I moved home, they gave me that show, and I had you on the show. Yeah. I found out that you had written a really successful two books or one
book. Yeah, I wrote one book. I wrote a book. Yeah, I don't think I've mentioned that on there. Yeah, I wrote a humor book called Letters to eBay. I remember you had your show at Fashion Furniture. Yeah. I come on every once in a while. I remember I came on to talk about sports, but you want to talk about that book for about 15 minutes. I'm like, yeah.
Well, fascinating, right? Because the professions that are around sports, if you don't make it in the pros, and the love of the sport which you had, and I was always impressed that you were at a lot of things in Clovis, and you knew the Clovis sports area. That's a big part of the listening audience. And, you know, I was more into bringing in the experts. I just did not have the time to go to all the stuff, but I always was secure enough to say, hey, come on, Paul, come on on. Tell us what's going on. Tell us what you think. And when you said you wrote a book, and I know you're in education, and so that, you know, you were teaching and coaching out there, that's the stuff that I think people, in my mind, need to really understand. It's not a lot of money in this side of it, so you always have another job or two. The days where you're just Bob Costa sitting up there or Brent Musburger, I think those days may be gone, right? For most of us, it's changed down to where you do this because you have a love of sports and kids and all that kind of stuff. And
well, it's always about the people, Coach, right? It's about the people you come in contact with. And I know you got connections to Kerman. We were just talking to Coach Morgan, right?
Yes.
And then the dad, Bibioff, who coached – I didn't know he was the coach of the 2018 Valley Championship team, and now he watched his son win one as – you know, it's just the Valley ties are certainly strong.
You know, it's funny because, you know, I work with the students and some of the staff at Kerman Unified, and Gordon Pacheco and I, when we were 16, 17 years old, we coached in some special type of Olympics game at Fresno State. Stayed friends and over all those years. And then when I go out there, I live on a boulevard named Kearney Boulevard, which goes through Kerman. And I was, you know, I had you in the media, they teach you, at least Paul Leffler taught me, you can't cheer. Right? So, you know, I was going for it, and I couldn't cheer you. When the coach ran, he slapped the superintendent's hand. Gordon Pacheco, then he went over and slapped Pam Selleck's hand, the associate superintendent. He just kind of went by me because I didn't stick my hand out because I didn't want to look like I was. And then he came back, come on, man, slap it up. And I was happy for him. And it's funny because when they beat the McFarland team,
yeah,
I was at the district office that day, and he was there. And I said, good luck tonight, coach. Just slapped his hand. So he won. So then the next week I said, hey, man, I better find you and slap your hand again. So now Tuesday I got to come back from the Bay Area early to make sure I see him before his playoff game. Keep our tradition going and hopefully keep Kerman winning.
And they did. They did last night. I saw you across the way talking with Gordon. And, yeah, I mean, what did you think about that game? These two dudes that were on the show, they combined for 51 of the 61 points, and they're coming back next year. Those kids are pretty talented, aren't they?
Yeah, the big sophomore.
Yeah. Maddox's son.
Yeah, he can stroke it, and then Daniel, he can play. I mean, I like, you know, they have a two player scoring offense essentially, and then everybody else has got to be ready at the right time. And Daniel's younger brother made a big shot in the corner. He showed a lot of trust. Those guys, I was listening to the interview as I was driving up, and the coach highlighted the other players who had to block out set picks. You know, pass the ball to those guys. You know, just work hard. You know you're not going to score a lot, but you want to be a part of a winning team. And that was the beauty of all that is sometimes basketball players can become so me-oriented. That was a throwback team where you find out, hey, it's like an offensive lineman or a defense. You know, you may play all game and not get your name called, but at the end of the day you want that trophy. Raise that trophy up, and that was really a show of teamwork. And then the struggles through conference. How do you hold your team together?
1-7.
I'm around Fresno State now, and you know the team isn't doing well, and it's hard to keep morale up and keep guys going hard in practice, wanting to improve. So you know we all know how that can be. It'd be like me taking one of your classes when I was in junior high, and I'm failing. Like, oh man, I'm just quitting. You know, so to keep going to tutoring or keep doing whatever it takes to win is a testament to the character of the young men and their parents.
Absolutely, and you're right. When you go 1-7 in league, there's no way you can imagine that you'd be playing not only playing in a Central Section championship game, but winning one. It's pretty rare
against a team that had only lost two games at that point, who comes in with a lot of confidence, much more size.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look like a deeper bench, and you know these guys want it, and they wanted to win it. And you know, when your leadership has the confidence, it can take you to another level. That's why I think leadership matters. You know, somebody that has a vision, we can still make it. This isn't the finish line in January because things are bad, or early February. We're going to be here by the end of February, first part of March. So that I love seeing stuff like that. And And they just seem like really nice young men. So, you know, I wish them well on Tuesday.
Tuesday. State playoffs. We've still got more basketball left. And you mentioned the mental part of the game and high school kids. And I know that's a big part of your life, right? You love to breathe life into kids and teach them, you know, about the mental aspect and overcoming adversity and all those things. Why are those things important to you?
Well, I you know, I was certainly my mom was a prayer warrior, and I was an unexpected child. My brothers are 15 and 14 years older than I am. My mother was the first person of color to be a probation officer in Fresno County. And she would look at the kids in juvenile hall and how they were treated if the parents didn't expect to have them. They called them a mistake. I had the same, my brothers and I, we have the same parents, but nobody expected me to come along 14 years later. So she called me the bonus prize, and she said, I always want you to be a part of something positive. And I think it started with her wanting me to be in the, I don't know why, but she always wanted me to help people. And I said, you don't make money helping people. And I got some cousins and relatives really rich. I want to be like that. I'm the runt. But I've had a millionaire life without the $1 million. But it is important to help the youth and develop talent and potential. And people, if you can teach them, you can really reach them and have an impact for generations. And I kind of saw that with some folks in my family who were in education. My mom was in probation, where you can have that major impact where somebody, it just changes everything. And you don't have to change the world, but you certainly can change someone. You know, if you touch someone, it really makes a huge difference. And that has ended up being my life mission. I want to do a lot of other things. I still get extreme anxiety when I go and speak. Whether it's five people or 500 or 1,000, it doesn't make a difference. A sleepless nights. It's not a natural gift for me. And it took years to learn how to go out and talk professionally, and it took a whole lot of years to make a dollar from it. I mean, I gave a whole – people would give you a box of chicken, some some preserves.
Coupon,
anything else. I think Pacheco did that to me when I first worked for him. I got some sort of coupon from him. I think I still got that thing somewhere. But it took a long time to learn the craft. It was a lot of losing nights in terms of money.
Yeah.
I still haven't figured out, Paul, how to pay AT&T, PG&E, and put gas in the car with a pound cake.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah,
yeah. So that's been part of my dream. Yeah,
that's amazing. I want to touch back about all that in a little bit.
Sure.
But let's go back into the Wayback Machine. I mentioned those Washington Union days growing up on the West Side there. Mm-hmm. Just describe what basketball was like during those days at Washington Union playing in that gym.
Well. It was a very small gym. I never played a home playoff game because our gym was too small to host.
They
home
put
game.
You other places?
Yeah, bigger... we would play at Bullard, McLean, Clovis, Fowler. I think those were our three home courts away from in Fresno City. In Fresno City, we'd play at City. And it was tough. My older brothers went to Washington Union and played against the Pondexters, and they were always like, well, whoever, let's say, you know, they always lost two games. It'd be against Memorial. And they never could make it to the, you know, further down. And my brothers for years would talk about San Joaquin. And we just, and then, so when I grew up, my parents split, but I was always at my aunt's house. And so we had guys from, if you heard of Sloan Stevens, mm-hmm. her mother lived across the street from my aunt, so we're really close with them. And so they, and then Kaylin Wright, who played at USC, and Carolyn Jenkins, she played at Cal. So we had all these guys, Tom Goodwin, he's my cousin, he played in the pros, Icky Woods is my cousin. So we had all these athletic folks in this one block, a little bit, it was considered country then. It wasn't mm-hmm. considered
That's
the
right.
West Side. So
yeah.
it was like out in,
okay.
out a little bit. But Central didn't have a good basketball team, and I went to Madison Elementary, and then so I had to make a choice if I was going to live on the ranch and live with my dad and go to Washington Union and win 100 games or go to Central and maybe go the other way. At that time, they're a lot better now. And I decided to go to Washington Union, and it was a tough deal. I played for Eric Sedequist and John Pestridge. And my freshman year at the Union, Jervis Cole, Tony Harris, that great team went 29-0. They didn't pull me up to varsity. And that summer, they were the City County All-Star coaches, and I did not want to work on out there in that heat with my dad. So I said, "Hey, Dad, I got to be the manager. I was the water boy for the team."
Yeah.
And let me just tell you, I got my first dunk, practiced against college guys going to college that whole summer until the game start. But I got a lot better, and I just kept trying to work and getting better. And I liked being a winner, and the union provided that. It was really neat time. They were the dominant, you know, yeah. To go 29. So the next year we went 27-2. We had my freshman year, Fresno State wins it all. Boyd Grant comes and speaks at our banquet. There's 1,000 people there. The next year there's 5 people in the – we lose 2 games with 5 people in the library with some stale cake that they got from the cafeteria. Coach gave a quick speech. Hey, all y'all got a little trophy. Good to see you. Practice is tomorrow at 10.
You lost 2 games.
Yeah, 2 games.
Yeah.
So so the standard, I'm saying, was very high playing at the Union, and it was a great sense of pride for me. I really learned from Eric Cedarquist and Petras, but Cedarquist, who's was at the game yesterday, he was a great leader.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell him that today if I see him, is that, you know, he really impacted me in terms of leadership. I had him. He was a big impact. Petras, of course, my college coach, Bob Hamilton. Chuck Daly really spent time with me, and a guy named Eddie Futch, who trained Joe Frazier to beat Ali, and Barry Gordy credits with giving him the knowledge of building Motown because he was wow. under. So I've had some really neat mentors in my life, and I think going to the Union was a great start of that.
1988, you guys win it all. What's your lasting memory from that state championship run?
Well, I had to get past some jealousy. I had knee surgery the first part of the year. And a phenomenal player, maybe one of our best players ever, Deshaun Stevenson or Jervis would be up there. But Carl Ray Harris was my teammate, and he was just a star. Then we had Petras had taken the job at Fresno State, and I was hurt, and I wasn't the same player. And I was in some – I played with pain. It was a struggle year for me, my senior year. And I remember having some confrontations early on and just deciding. I came out here, lived on this farm, woke up every day, fed 100 head of cattle – had to pack trucks, you know, when I got home from games and feed cattle when I got home from games. There's no way in the world I'm going to leave Washington without a state championship. So I felt relief at halftime when I knew we were just going to beat the snot out of Terra Linda. I just completely relaxed. And it was a great feeling. It's like the lifelong memories that Coach was just talking about in your last segment. I still see those guys. It's always hugs and highs. It's a special feeling. Even Jennifer, one of she's my accountant. She went to Washington Union. You know, like she wants to go to the game today. You know, it's just we have this connection, and it's a great feeling. It was a life turner. I mean, my fingers are bad. You know, ball players, we get our fingers messed up. I can't get my championship ring on. Now, this looks like something you got at a Cracker Jack box because those guys start buying those rings.
Yeah.
Tear your arm down.
You don't wear those things. You just display them.
I was 24 doing business in Japan. An executive of, at that time, almost a $2 billion company, made me take my ring off in the meeting. And he wanted to do business with me because he knew that I knew the principles of winning. And that all started out there in that country school at Washington Union.
I'm holding the ring right now. Jones on the side, the other side, 1988. Got a little purple right there.
Oh, yes.
A little purple on the front, on the top, I should say. Oh, yeah. It's a conversation starter for sure.
Yeah, and it helped close the deal.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was really good. I mean, it was just a really phenomenal. And the people at Washington Union, anytime I've had some sort of tragedy in my life, I always go back there, and they always welcome me. My mom died. My mom was sick. You know, my father passed. I always would venture back home from Davis, and then the last time my mom was ill, I ended up staying.
Talking with Mark Jones. So Washington Union, you got into coaching pretty quick, I think, after college, and you had a chance to become the Washington Union coach.
Yeah.
But you were up north, right, and you want to stay – true to your word,
boy.
With
my,
those boys,
yeah. You know, in Spanish they call it the chancla. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get hit.
Yep.
You know, some people call it the paddle. Depending on what culture you're in, the switch, yeah. Whatever it is. There was certainly no timeout. I can just tell you that right now.
It's more physical.
Yeah, a lot more physical in the deal. But You know, I was offered the job to go back, and my junior to senior year at Washington Union, John Pestridge took the job with Fresno State with Ron Adams. And I knew and I told my guys I was staying. I got a call from the union. They wanted to offer me the job, and I came down and talked, and I couldn't take it because I had given my word. Mm. You know, and Washington Union had a first-round, you know, pick.
Deshaun's coming up.
Yeah, Deshaun was going to be a pro. But I couldn't leave those guys because I'd given my word. And I never looked at my mom be so proud of that, because Washington was a much better place. It'd be a lot more money, a lot more resources. For instance, I was buying stuff at Natomas. They don't buy anything out there. You just, you know, we were rolling at that time, so people were investing in the program into the kids. But I had given my word already. Now, maybe a month earlier, if I hadn't have said that, maybe I'd have come back home. But I'm glad I did. And Great Coach Tarkey said, "Hey, how can you take that job?" He would always give, "Why didn't you take that job? Oh, you must have a good team." And we made it to the Final Four of the state that year. He was right, but I didn't have a Deshaun Stevenson to win it all.
if you had a Mount Rushmore, you mentioned a few guys. You mentioned Carl Ray Harris. I mean, God, legendary, right? Everybody knows Carl Ray Harris, same year. 1989, so a year later, right?
Yes.
You got a Mount Rushmore, you got a Carl Ray Harris story. I mean, those dunks were legendary. Some of those left-handed two-foot dunks were, I think it was at Dinuba. Maybe it was your year where they had to delay the game for about 45 minutes. I think he bent the backboard or did something crazy, right? Or broke the rim.
That, I mean, I didn't have that with Carl Ray, but Curtis Stroud, who's had kids at Selma and Roosevelt and you've heard, you know, and San Joaquin Memorial. He broke the glass before the section championship game at McLean. The glass shattered. We had a good – Doc Buchanan and Coach C and those guys all had a good relationship. So Doc Buchanan and Coach Don Collins, who was the AD, I think, of Clovis, we went out – Clovis Unified, we went out and played the game at Clovis. So there were buses of people. We were playing Garces that had to, we had to move the game – physically. Now, I wasn't
that there. That night?
That night, yeah. We couldn't delay it. It had to go because, you know, all the stuff was going on. Yeah. The thing that grabbed me about Carl Ray was that his ability, he kind of could go left or right, and he had a move that nobody could stop, you know, and he could get to the middle paint and elevate. His dad was a great athlete at Fresno State, played football. His mom was one of the nicest people in the world. And so, he had the it factor. They all played for, and we never give enough credit to Coach Sato, John Sato, who was the junior high teacher and PE teacher at Ivy, West Fresno. But he developed Pondexter, Jervis, Carl Ray. He did so much for basketball around this area. Jackie White was playing with him when she was great. And so all of those guys that come out of that system. And so they were used to getting yelled at and screamed at. So you could really coach them. And Carl Ray was just, you know.
He's old, different. Just different.
Different guy. Yeah. Really powerful. Hard to stop. I mean, I got so used to the dunks, I can't. It's just all a blur.
Yeah.
But he was a phenomenal guy.
Let's talk a little bit Fresno State. We got about 5 minutes.
Okay. Sure.
Tonight, right? San Diego State honoring somebody special, right?
Special to me. I mean, I always talk about when I see Rod. Now, I've always thanked him because what he did, his demeanor, how he comported himself, it is unfortunate that the game falls on the same night as the championships because the basketball world, you know, should be there. So I hope that if folks aren't playing, maybe they come out at least to the opening ceremony and maybe go back to selling or whatever. But everybody wanted to be – number 22 here. I was the youngest of my cousins when we were playing, so I never wore 22. But Rod was a winner. He was so cool. He was kind. And when I tell people how he changed this area, when Michael Jordan is coming to Fresno to do camps, because of relationship and how Rod carried himself, how he was raised, and, you know, if you saw the Last Dance guy snorting coke, drinking, and all that kind of stuff that was going on that time in pro sports, and Jordan said, the guy that I can be around and still be a pro is Higgins, and that relationship builds to where Jordan comes here. Look at all the kids that played, seeing Michael Jordan experience. That guy's act, just how he carried himself, There's a lot of guys in the NBA Jordan has played with, but he maybe went to one or two other camps, but he came to Fresno. That's what Higgins means to us. He went to the Sweet 16. They helped build that, expand the Sullivan Arena from 6,500 to about 10 because of those guys. He was the best. To me, he's the best player ever here. I mean, I'm glad he's getting his jersey retired, but he should have been the first, because you wouldn't have had Boyd Grant wouldn't have had the success. Yeah. Tark probably wouldn't have come here. He had helped develop that culture where Fresno could be a huge place. Now, I remember late great Chuck Daly telling me when they wanted to move the Grizzlies from Vancouver, he talked to me and said, hey, I think we got to go to your hometown. I think Fresno could support a pro team. It all came from that type of thing with Jordan would come in here, Higgins. And I think there isn't enough kind things to say about Rod. He is just a true champion, the ultimate bulldog, and a class act. You very rarely – he is a unique human.
And his sweet jumper.
Oh, and man, we were all trying to run down the court like Higgins. Higgins, we'd all be trying to be right. Baby Higgins. One cousin, Corey Cooley, he built a shirt and said, Baby Higgins on it. He'd be, so I never – but all those guys, Tyrone and Anderson. Anderson was tough. And I went to their camp in 82 before they started their whole deal.
Yeah.
I spent $40 of my own money working on the farm, $10 for gas, two-week camp at Bullard. And it was through the Parks and Rec. Higgins shows up in 1982, and I play him one-on-one and beat him 2-1. I know he was, but back then, you know, I was like 11 or 12. I really thought I was a hot shot. But but those guys mean the world to me. They taught me a lot, and they were really something. But and I hope everybody can make it out tonight.
I do too. It's unfortunate we got the basketball championships tonight at Sullivan Arena and the Rod Higgins. I wish I could clone myself and be at a couple places at once for sure. Talking with Coach Mark Hugh Jones, going to be on the call tonight. 7 o'clock, right? 7 o'clock tip against yes. San Diego State. We got about 2 more minutes here, Coach.
Okay, yeah.
I wish I had you for a lot more time because there's lots of stuff I'd love to talk to you about, including NIL. I mean, that's a whole different hole. I don't know. We don't have 2 minutes
for
that.
Well, I'll just tell you, it's been an unfair system for years. It may be an overcorrection. You can't have coaches making $8 million and players are getting called crooks because some booster buys them a dinner. That's some sort of bias there, right? That's not fair. They probably need a system that's going to shake themselves out. It's going to shake, work its way out. So NIL's okay because everybody else can make money but you. And if the arena is packed, you should get it's okay for people to support you. The transfer stuff is a whole different thing.
Yeah, Coach, I want to leave you with this. You could have a full minute to answer this, but you know your presence is when you walk into a gym, everybody knows Mark Hugh Jones is in the house, and you got a story, you got relationships with everybody. That's one of the things I love about you. But why is the Valley important? You mentioned it. You were up north for many, many years. You come back to the Valley, you invested in kids, invested in schools. Why is the Valley important to you?
Well, I think that I found out when I went to UC Davis how much respect people had for the Central Valley and the ag here. My dad was a farmer. I was out in the fields, and I was considered really tough because I come from this environment. I never would have come home because I love the Delta breeze.
I've heard that before. Yep.
My mom was super educated, had a great job, but she never could read the on button on the air conditioner. I mean, she always wanted to put the windows open. But the Valley is a place to grow, and ag teaches you everything. We feed the world. I've been in rooms with presidents of other countries, and they know something about Fresno because of what we do here. I couldn't tell you the great feeling I got with Cargill and some of these billion-dollar companies. Oh, I know where Fresno is. Oh, yes, I know where Fresno. And that just makes me feel great. And I think here people say hi. How you doing? You know, and I like being country. I wasn't always happy being country, but I finally learned that country is cool when I was about 18 when I went to Davis, and they said, you're just a hick. And I said, well, I like myself. I don't think you like yourself. But the Valley is very special. If you look at how things grow, I'll say this to you. This is the place where you can take manure and make everything grow. And so anything bad that happens to you, if you put it on the right thing, it'll help you grow up your future. Just don't give up if things get bad.
Absolutely. Great job as always, Coach. Love talking with you, catching up with you. You are a gem of the valley for sure. And, yeah, have fun on the call tonight, my friend.
You too, man.
I will. I will. I love listening to you, man. I try to – sometimes when I'm announcing games, when I'm doing the broadcast, I'm like, what would Mark Q. Jones say about this situation? So I try to channel my inner Mark Q. Jones when I on the broadcast. All right, thank you, my friend. Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, First String Sports, Gabe Camarillo, Mike Schofield, Tyler Morgan, Leon Maddock, and Daniel Bibioff from Kerman, and Mark Jones. We'll talk to you guys soon.